Today, your Christian show that comes on every week on Saturdays from 11 to 12 to encourage, inform you, encourage you, and to lift up Christ. This is not just the good news, it's the great news, and we're here. And if you guys are encouraged by this show, feel free to call 894-7325. Let me know. This is Curtis Smith, your friendly, humble host, giving you this show every week and making it possible for you to hear good testimonies from people that have experienced things and been through things in their life, and just to be a blessing to you. And anyways, today's show, I have a guest in the studio. His name is Jim Preston, and I've known him for quite a long time. And I know him to be a mighty man of God. I know him to be a vessel of the Lord that does the Lord's work. And I know him to be a man who loves God. So I want to welcome Jim Preston. So good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
And why don't you start off a little bit, Jim, with how you came to the Lord, how you know Christ, and what God has done, some things God's done in your life. And I'll stop you from time to time and ask you questions.
All right. I believe one of the big influences in my life is when my mom died in 1960 when I was 8 years old, and my dad, we were up working in the fruit fields in Oregon, in the Dalles, Oregon, and my dad dropped me off, me and my two sisters off at an orphanage, and somehow some Christian people from Oroville, California, found out about that we were up there, and so they applied for adoption and adopted me and my two youngest sisters, and they were evangelists and full of Christ, and so I was raised for 9 years from 1960 to 1969 in church, even though I was never born again. And I believe that they said, you know, teach a young man in the ways he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I believe that I had the Word of God put in my heart at that time. And although I ran from God until I was 33 years old, I still had that Word placed in my heart when I was a young kid.
That must have been something.
Yes, it was a hard time in my life because I lost both of my parents and then my step-parents that raised me until 1969. My stepmom was 49 years old, and she got breast cancer and passed away also when I was 17. So it was a very hurtful thing not to have stable parents in my life growing up.
So that must have been a lot of pain in your life, which must have kind of caused it hard for you to believe in Christ or see Christ, or did you have issues with that, or were you like angry at him, or did you just... Explain that.
I just felt kind of like lonely and rejection because my parents were both staying in a bar most of the time, and they just come home and sleep, and they had no idea what was going to happen, I'm sure, or they would have changed. But they had eight children and farm workers, so they just worked a few months out of the year, and so they, when they got off work, they stayed in a bar most of the evening and then come home and sleep.
Wow.
And so I just kind of felt an abandonment in my life because I really wasn't close to him and had that nurturing care that young children should have placed in their hearts when they're young. That's when your most formative and growing years is what your parents instill in you, until you're 6 years old. So
wow.
I didn't have that, unfortunately, that closeness and that love and that protective covering in my life.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about, from childhood, give us a little bit about your life in, as a whole, and then we'll start asking you. I'll be able to ask you some questions. Did you, you graduated high school? Did you go to the military? How was life for you in during those years?
Yes, I left home in 1969 because I was such a rebellious child, and I just wanted to get away from my stepdad. And so I moved to Marysville, California, and then I graduated in 1970. And then I moved to the mountains for about 2 years and just become a hermit up there. My car motor broke down, and I didn't have no transportation. And so I just lived on food stamps for 2 years.
Wow.
And then 1972, my dad passed away, and the same night my sister invited me over to tell me that they needed money for the funeral, my whole house burnt down and no insurance, and I got out with absolutely nothing. We barely got out with our lives, and my car burned up and everything, and that was just one more obstacle in my life that caused depression and just made me want to just live the way I wanted to live, and just I rejected all authority in my life.
So when you came to Christ, it must have been really difficult for you?
Yes, it was. It was
a lot
of hard times running from 1970 to 1985. I went through 17 jobs.
In 17 jobs?
Yes, wow. In 15 years. And I joined the military when I left the mountains from 1973 to 1977. And I still rejected authority, and so when I got out, I was still a rebellious person, and I moved to Alaska. I got married while I was in the military, and I was married for 5 years. Then I moved to Alaska for 4 years, and then I got a divorce up there and decided to join the military again in 1981 and 1983.
And what were you in the service? You were in the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines?
I was in the U.S. Navy for four years, the first tour, and then 2 years, the second tour, on an aircraft carrier.
Is that where you accepted the Lord, or when did you accept the Lord?
No, I had a dream in 1980 from God, just came to my bedroom, and I heard in my spirit, man, if I would come to Yuba City, California, that I would find what I was looking for in life. And it was just so clear in my spirit that I knew it was God speaking to me, but I really didn't know what I was looking for in life.
Wow.
And so I joined the military again and went overseas from 1981 to 1983, and then I decided to move back down to Marysville, California, and attend college for 2 years. And then from 1983 to 1985, I had a girlfriend down there that was just so into drugs and alcohol and such turmoil. It was a rough time going through college, but I graduated with honors in 1985. But when I left my girlfriend down there, I moved out in the river bottoms, and my car broke down again. And I had no transportation and just frustrated, but I got out of that house with a Bible. And I was sitting in the river bottoms reading through Proverbs 8, and all of a sudden, the Word of God just came alive to me, and it says, you know, I noticed a simple man going through the streets, and he met this woman on a counter, on a corner, and he bought tapestries from Egypt and took her into his house. And when I started reading that, all of a sudden, in my car there in the river bottoms, I realized that God was speaking to me from heaven.
Wow.
And it really touched my heart because I was in a real bad place, and that was on a weekend. And on a Monday, I went back to college, and a friend of mine says, I saw you down underneath the bridge. Do you need a place to live? And I said, yes. And so he moved out of his house and gave me a real nice apartment in Yuba City that was all furnished, and he paid for the rent for 6 months until I graduated from college.
So you graduated from Yuba College?
Yes, yes, in welding and manufacturing down there.
Okay.
And I knew when I got that apartment, I ended up right in Yuba City, California, where I'd had that dream, if I come there, I would find what I was searching for. And so I just continued to read the Bible and study and pray because I knew how to pray when I was a young child. And I got born again right on the floor in my living room in March 1985.
So you've been saved since 85, so that's quite a few years. So what's the journey been like? What has God done in you? What's God brought you through? What are some of the things that you've experienced? I mean, we've got an hour to talk about Jim.
All right. Yes, it was a tremendous change in my life. I walked out of Rooney's Bar, and the Holy Spirit was waiting outside for me, and I got home and got prayed through, and all of a sudden I felt a release in my spirit from all that hurt from the past. I really got full of the joy of the Lord, and I felt His love touch my spirit, and that's what I was looking for in life, that love, joy, and peace that only the Lord Jesus can give us in our heart. And so I started going to a United Pentecostal church there, right by Glad Tidings, and the pastor was very sensitive to the Lord, and he would minister. He had a prayer tower. Him and his son built that church, and they would pray and seek the Lord, and they would walk the aisles, and they would come through there and minister to our lives because they knew that the people there had needs. Mm. And so one of the brothers there took me in and began to disciple me and train me in the Lord and encourage me. And I began going to the rescue missions there, playing music. I always had in my heart playing music because I started at 10 years old, and that was one thing that I always loved in life. My parents bought me a bar piano, and so I've been playing music for 50 years. And I started, when I first got saved, I wrote a music, started writing music unto the Lord. He gave me a prophetic song, and I realized that that God can speak through us through music.
So He's spoken to you a lot through music?
Yes, I've written many, many songs. Mm-hmm. And I sing songs from my spirit, man. I hear them in my spirit. And then I just sing them like people email on the computer. I just sing them right directly unto the Lord of His greatness and His love. Mm. And a lot of people don't realize that it's not about writing songs. It's about bringing them forth from our spirit and from our heart that reaches the heart of God. It's one of the most important things we can do. And then that they become love songs in the spirit under Jesus. And
you became an ordained minister, correct?
Yes, in 1994.
What led to that? What led to you writing songs and stuff and becoming an ordained minister? How did that happen? How did that take place?
It was just a gift that the Lord gave me when I was first born again. I realized I've been playing music since I was 10 years old, and I played in church for 9 years. And so the Lord just gave me that gift when I was a very young child. And so I still had music in my house when I was born again. And so I just picked it up one day. I missed church and I felt real guilty. And the Lord gave me a supernatural song in the spirit that helped me, that birthed into me, that realized that I had a gift like that to share.
Wow. And let's take a break real quick. You folks, you're listening to this show and you're really being blessed by it. Call 894-7325. We'd love to hear your input. Love to hear how you feel about the show. Love to hear what you have to say about the show. And if you have any ideas, suggestions, or if you want to contribute, then feel free to contribute. The number is 894-7325. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and I hope you're having a great day. And I'm going to get back to the show with my guest, Jim Preston. 894-7325. So, Jim, anything else that you want to share? I mean, we've got plenty of time to talk on the air.
All right. Yes, when I graduated from Yuba College, I had already had plans to go to Tulsa Welding School because I was getting a VA. And so I went ahead and moved back there and moved away from all my friends from that area and just disassociated with them. I didn't tell them where I was going. And when I graduated from Tulsa Welding School, I moved back up to Alaska again. And for 4 years, from 1985 to 1987, I was praying and seeking the Lord and just beginning a close relationship to Him. And then I began praying for a wife in 1987, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and told me to come to Chico, California, and I would meet my wife, in that she was from overseas. And so I got excited. I quit my job and sold everything that I had and moved to Chico. And it's just supernaturally led by the Spirit. I went to a place over in Chapmantown, and an elderly lady that was attending there, I started taking her to Corning for revival meetings, and one day we were going past Jubilee Chapel there in Chico, right at the end there.
Yeah, we went to that church together. I remember that church.
Yes. And she said, there's a lady here that's been praying for a husband. And so I stopped in there, and my wife Heidi had just got her green card and was overseas, and so I had to wait there 3 weeks before she came back. And that was her first time overseas for almost 25 years because she was over here in America illegally. And so she had a green card. And so when we first met, one of the first things that we did, we went over to the Clusa camp meeting there. They were having a tent meeting there.
Really? What year was this?
In 1987.
Oh, that's been quite a few years ago.
Yes, and so we started dating, and I had a tent, and she had a new car, and so we just put a carrying rack on top, and we began going to tent meetings almost every weekend for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Almost 9 hours a day, we were under that anointing of an evangelist.
Who was that particularly? Was that
Brother Joe and Betty Ferguson.
Yeah, he's still alive, isn't he?
Yes, he's up in Canada right now for 3 months.
Praise
God. And he's 70 years old, and he's been doing that since almost 1985.
Wow, he loves the Lord, too. I've been through some of his services.
Yes.
So God spoke to you that you were going to be traveling, or what exactly happened?
When we were over there, we started traveling with him for four years. And then in 1990, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to go to Yuba City to an RV show there. And we won a year membership at Coloma down on the American River there. And when we went down there, the director of the park happened to be our next pastor's wife's brother. And he told us about Prayer Mountain down there. And so in 1990, we began going down there 80 miles one way. And the Lord began training us down there in the evening services. He let seven of us share for 10 minutes, and the Lord began training me for what he wanted us to prepare for going overseas.
Wow, and what was that?
Well, it was be missionaries to the nations.
And what nations have you been? You've been to quite a few nations, have you not?
Yes. Yeah, we've been to England, Switzerland, India, Vanuatu, which is north of New Zealand, and the Philippines, seven trips, and Africa, and Costa Rica, and we traveled with the apostles for 10 years over there, helped building churches, and with different missionaries over there.
One of the apostles I happen to know, and you happen to know, is Angel Perez.
Yes, that was one of our last ministries from 2005 to 2010, and we told him when he come out here to California that we used to travel overseas for many years, and so we helped him to get established over there, and we made three trips from 2004 to 2007 with him overseas, helping feed thousands of children that lived under bridges and ministering to conferences over there.
Wow. So you had a really good time. You were really led of the Lord, really blessed of the Lord to be able to minister to people in foreign countries.
Yes.
So you've had quite a bit of experience, a lot more experience than me. So let's take some of these experiences over the next 34 minutes, and let's talk about some of the things God has showed you, some of the things you've seen God do, some of the miracles you've experienced. Let's really dive into that.
All right. Well, one of our first trips was in 1995 with Pastor Alan Higgins. He was a minister that came from New Zealand to Paradise, California. And that was our first mission trip into a rough country like that. It was almost 110 under the tent during the daytime and about 85 degrees at night because the brick buildings there just retained the heat. And after 9 o'clock, they would turn off the electricity. And so what we did, we had to wet towels and lay them on our body, and then we opened the doors, and just thousands of mosquitoes came in and attacked us. And we just saw out in the streets, there was just sewer running down in the gutters, and people, it just so, had such a rough life over there. And we had almost 3,000 people at that conference we ministered to for 8 days, and we prayed for over 1,000 people every night. And that is when we began fasting and praying in the Spirit for almost 10 hours a day. And when we laid hands on them people, we saw supernatural miracles in our life. We saw lame people leaping in the air, 2 and 3 feet up in the air, that could not walk.
Wow, that must have been an incredible miracle experience.
Yes, we saw demonic people trying to manifest there in the meetings and trying to disrupt it. And we saw people just being pinned to the ground and held there by the Holy Spirit so they could not do demonic manifestations in the service. And the police were there, and the people went under the anointing for such a long time that the police thought they were dead.
Wow.
I mean, the power of God was such a powerful move of God there.
Wow. So it was interesting transformation and such a manifestation that even the police officers couldn't understand it.
No, they couldn't comprehend it, that God would do something like that.
So you've seen God do quite a bit of things in ministry and in your life, so continue sharing with us.
All right. And then our next trip was in the Philippines, or Vanuatu in 1996, and the pastor just decided to go there and encourage this pastor, and we didn't know that he was going to leave the ministry at the time. And so we went to his house, and we were all sitting there, and all of a sudden, as we began to leave, an angel of the Lord came there, and that pastor got caught up in the spirit. And as we went to the service to wait for this pastor, he said an angel came and ministering to him for almost an hour. And at the service we were in, we got caught up in the spirit supernaturally and began singing and prophesying. And just a mighty move of God just came into that building that we were in. We were just in a little gazebo right there on the water. And the people would come hiking there. There was only three taxis in the whole island. So some people would walk for 2 or 3 or 4 hours just to get to that meeting. It was such a powerful move of God. And that pastor had such an encounter with God when we first got there that he stayed in the ministry. And he said he had never been touched like that. He heard the audible voice of the angel sitting there as he ministered to him.
So he almost gave up ministry, but then he decided to stay in ministry because of this?
Yes. Yes, wow. My wife is an intercessor and was just full of love, and we believed, you know, we didn't realize how the Lord uses people, but he uses strategic people to impart into certain people's lives in a certain timing of their life.
Wow, interesting.
And so our next trip, as we were in Paradise Christian Center, some people come from the Philippines that had been living there many years, Don and Barbara Arnie, and they were looking for support. And so in 1997, we took a mission trip and went over there to see, because we had our hearts set that the Lord was going to lead us into the nations. And so we went over there to see their work and to pray with them and encourage them and to support them in any way we possibly could. And a mighty wave of God came in that island when we first touched down there. And I was singing some songs from a songbook, and these pastors begin to laugh. They go, "Oh, we're going to sing hymns." And I go, "Yeah, we're going to sing hymns." And about 30 minutes later, these pastors were on the ground weeping and crying out to God for mercy, because they were getting impacted by the Holy Spirit in such a great measure from us just worshiping in a little tiny hut there in the Philippines.
So do you prefer the new songs or do you prefer hymns? What do you prefer? What do you like better?
Oh, I prefer the new songs because, you know, in the Bible it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Mm-hmm. And I believe that the Lord has different times and seasons for specific songs, and then we have to listen in our spirit, and then he leads us into a new generation and a new birthing of songs in song leaders as what is going on in the church at that time. And so we have to be very sensitive, and there's a place for hymns and there's a place for the new, but we have to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is doing in each church situation and let him lead the service.
I like that. I like what you just said there. So what are some of the things that you're seeing God do today, and is God still using you and your wife in ministry as far as missions? Do you feel that you're going to be going on any missions? What exactly has the Lord showed you, or what exactly do you see going on? I mean, at your age now and stuff, what do you see the Lord getting ready to do? Or, you know, talk about some of that.
All right. Yes, we believe that we've been reading different prophetic books from Rick Joyner and different ministries, and they're prophesying that God is going to raise up an apostolic people in the end time. It's just a company of people that will have the heart of God, and that he will lead them and guide them and supernaturally provide for them as they go back overseas. So right now we're cultivating different relationships, and we made contact with Don and Barbara Arnie again. We had not seen them since 1999, and then they came to fellowship over at Family Life. And then Barbara came over last week to Paradise in fellowship with us. So I believe that God knows where each one of us is in the earth in his specific timing. And as he prepares our hearts, he is going to join a company of people that will just be so in unity and harmony. And we will be led by the Holy Spirit. And we'll be doing great exploits for the Lord in the end time. There's much more coming, I believe.
What are some other things that you want to share that are on your heart?
It's a training for each one of us. You know, we have to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing in the timing of all this. Because when we first started out in that tent ministry from 1989 to 1994, we didn't have air conditioners, and we had to travel hundreds and thousands of miles just to go to meetings. We would go to Hat Creek or up by Redding, or we would take off and go to Quartzsite or New Mexico or Arizona. Wherever the Lord lead us, we were willing to pay the price. So in 1990, we purchased a motorhome, and we traveled in it for 10,000 miles for 7 years. And I was working full-time. As I come down here from Alaska and married my wife, in 3 months after we got married, I got employed by the state of California by a Christian lady there in Chico. And
Must have been awesome.
Yes, I was working at the airport for 2 years and making just a little above minimum wage, and I was $6,000 in debt from child support that I hadn't paid, and I owed some money to the military because I was out on an aircraft carrier, and I had an $800 allotment going to my savings account, and they continued that for 6 months after I got back from the boat, and I didn't realize it, and I come down one December, and I spent over $6,000 buying gold and silver, and I bought a race car, and when I got back up there, I only had 3 or 4 months left in the military before I got out, and I was over $5,000 in debt.
$5,000 in debt?
Yes, and I was so angry, you know, because that was their mistake. The dispersing clerk done the error, and I didn't realize it, and he didn't realize it, because I used to earn a lot of money while I was in Alaska, and so I was used to spending large amounts of money.
What'd you do in Alaska?
And well, when I first got up there, I went out into the bush and worked offloading fishing boats, and then I went during the crab season, and then I worked different jobs up there, and then I got a job working for the University of Alaska up there. Me and my ex-wife did.
Oh, so you were married before you met Mary. You were married before you married Heidi.
Yes, yeah, I got married in 1975 while I was in the military, but I'd already made plans to move up there because down in Fresno it was so hot down there. So I'd made plans to move up there. So I took my wife up there, and we both got established and had good jobs. I had three jobs. I was getting paid to go to school, and I worked for the university, and then I had a job in the Air National Guard while I was up there as a welder.
Wow, interesting.
And so it was unfortunate that we were both working way too much, and then in 1980, my son was born, Joshua.
You can keep talking, keep sharing.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff. I know you've got a lot of stuff to share.
Yes. And so when my son was born, it got to be a lot of stress. I was working 10-hour shifts at night, and my wife went on day shift so we could babysit and alternate. And it becomes so stressful to me. That's why I decided to quit and join the military. And so it was an unfortunate thing for me that I was not more, you know, more sensitive, but I was alcoholic, and I was drinking almost a pot of coffee every day, a Colombian coffee. And I got so stressed out just sitting at home that I decided to quit and give up my family life and join the military.
So you gave up family life and joined the military, and how was that?
Oh, it was terrible. Yes, from 1981, when I first went out on the aircraft, I started filing for the divorce, and it really made my job really critical out there, because I worked night shift 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I would be thinking about my family and all my problems and all the situations. And plus, I was a supervisor out there. They put me in as an ordnance supervisor, EA-6B squadron, and I was training young people that were just coming into the military, and they were leaving their families and their children also. And so it was a very stressful time out there for all of us. And you know, that was training, I believe, for me, though, as I got stronger and stronger in my spirit, and I began working and getting established and work real good working habits. So when I got that job working for the state, I stayed there for 25 years on night shift, working evenings. And my wife and I also traveled the whole time that we were doing that. We take three-day weekends to go out to the tent meetings in different places, and we also made 22 trips overseas while I was working for the state there.
This was you and Heidi, right?
Yes.
So you guys have seen God move in a lot. So have you ever noticed or experienced not being able to be received well in some countries, or have you been pretty received in all the countries you've been to? And what have you experienced in the different countries that you've been to?
Yes, there's a lot of witchcraft in the Philippines and in Vanuatu. There was religious spirits there. And I would be trying to sing warrior songs on the piano, and all of a sudden the music would just slow down, and we could not lead the people up the mountain into the Lord because there were such religious spirits there that had the people bound. There in Vanuatu, we were out in the bush one time, and we believe that someone put a curse on us, and I was attacked while I was way out in the bush, and my heart quit beating for about 15, 20 seconds, and I just sat there because we had absolutely nowhere to go, no hospital, nothing was around, and the Holy Spirit came down and hit me right on top of the head and brought me back to life as my wife was sitting right beside me.
Hmm.
And that's just one of the miracles that we've had over there. When I was in India, I got attacked over there because I was taking malaria pills, and I ate some really unusual food over there when I was on a train, and I got a fever that was almost over 102 degrees, and Pastor Higgins prayed for me. In 5 minutes, I was delivered, but I was almost passed out completely from the attacks of the enemy over there.
Wow. Wow. So God's hand has really been on your life, and he's really showed you a lot of things and done a lot of things in you and been there for you, protected you, watched over you, kept you pretty strong. So we've got another half hour. I don't want you to run short. I know you've got a lot that you can share. So what do you particularly want to start speaking about? What do you want to share that's on your heart? What do you want to talk about?
All right. Well, my wife and I have been going to Z-Hop for about 5 months now.
What is Z-Hop?
Z-Hop is Zion House of Prayer.
And what do they do there?
They have a harp and bowl ministry there. And they start off with, we all sing different sets of songs. And then we have a time of prayer that we pray the scriptures. And then now we have the whole floor praying that as the Lord leads them, that we're developing our spirit man, because without prayer, there's nothing done in the spirit. And so it's a training for me and my wife, I believe, to be committed to a fellowship like that, that has a heart for drawing people up into the heart of God. And so
wow.
That's one thing I believe the Lord is training us in right now. And since I retired from the state last year, I have a lot more time to study and to read books and to work on my music now. And so that is a great benefit to me, because I went many years that I was always pressed for time, and I felt that was a hindrance in my life, and it was always a good excuse to fall back on, that I wasn't doing things sometimes was because I didn't have the time or the resources to do it.
Wow. Interesting.
And so now I have more time and freedom to seek the Lord and to pray and to get trained in my spirit man to what the Lord is training us for the next season of our life to do.
And what do you feel that is?
Well, he has not spoken to me directly yet for what the next thing to do, but we're preparing our hearts right now for in case the economy changes or devastation hits America, we want to be debt-free, and we want to have our hearts sensitive, and we want to be with the right fellowship to where we can be connected to the right people that will be led forward. For when the hard times come, we believe that the people of God are going to excel and do great exploits in the Spirit. So we have to be at the right place at the right time in the right season to be led into that next area for our lives.
Wow. 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 That's deep. So continue on. I know you got more.
All right.
You've got another 27 minutes. But around 11:55, we'll kind of start wrapping up. But just, I know there's more on your heart to share, so keep talking.
All right. Yeah, it was a great training from 1989 to 1994, because we were under an evangelist for 4 years also. And when you're under a Pacific ministry, that anointing is imparted to you. So we begin going out sharing with homeless people and people on the streets and inviting them to meetings. There's something that gets in your spirit when you're under a special anointing that draws you and compels you to go out and do that work of the ministry like that. So it was also good training for us. As I began fasting and praying more, and I noticed in Chico when I would fast for a few days, the Lord would supernaturally lead me to people in Chico that were hurting, and I helped people that were on the streets to get back home to their parents, these young teenagers over there, and I helped homeless people. I spoke right into their spirit, man, and took them out and ministered to them, and the Lord just used me supernaturally to speak into their hearts to help lead them back to where they needed to be in their lives like that. And so when we're with special fellowships, the Lord imparts certain things into our spirit man that enable us to go out and be more effective in ministry at that time. And so it's really been a blessing. I didn't realize working nights for 25 years, I thought it was a very hard thing since I was a married man, but it also gave me the time to pray in the spirit for many hours and to seek the Lord. And sometimes he would burst songs in my spirit while I was at work walking around, and I could just sing unto the Lord, and I had a freedom that most people in this day and culture do not take the time to birth in their lives.
So that's important. That's very important.
Oh, yes.
Talk about how that has really helped you in your walk with the Lord.
Yes. Well, when we're with in Intent Ministry, we would get up like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning and pray and seek the Lord. And then we would have three services a day that went on from 2 to 3 hours. And so we were under the anointing of the Lord. That's what we were going for. We were so excited about being in the presence of Jesus at that time, because I was only four years old when I met Heidi in the Lord. And so I was so excited to be a part of what God was doing. And I could sense in my spirit when people were getting delivered in the tent meetings and when healings were coming forth. Sometimes we would get caught up in music and people were getting healed in the service without even laying hands on them. And it was such an encouragement to my life to see the greatness of God, how he can just work through normal people, even though I thought I was a dysfunctional person, and I really would have never applied for the state job, except a friend of mine that had Agent Orange from the military. He was very dysfunctional, and he told me one day, let's go apply for a job for the state when I was only born again for 1 year. And so I decided to go and apply for the state, and it took me 3 years. But the Lord in his mercy gave me that job by a Christian lady. And I had no self-esteem in my life because my parents had raised me in such a poverty mentality that I didn't think I had the capacity to travel and work with people that are well off. But one of our first trips was to England in 1993. We stayed in a mansion with my wife's sister. And I realized that these people didn't see the dysfunction in my life. And so I believed, even at that time, just in that short amount of time, that the Lord had restored my mind a lot. And I realized no matter where we traveled in life, God was giving us grace and favor in our lives. Because it's not really who we are, it's who Christ is in us that enables to be effective ministers for Jesus. And so I realized soon that, you know, it wasn't my capacity or my upbringing that was doing the work, but it was Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that was imparting unto me, and then I was imparting it unto people that he sent us to at that time. So it was a great encouragement. During those 5 years that we were at the tent ministry, we saw a lot of deliverance take place, and there was a lot of witchcraft that came there, and a lot of alcoholics, and a lot of poverty. A lot of the American Indians are living on almost $12,000 a year on the reservations. And so there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of suicides, and there's a lot of rejection of the white people in our culture, because a lot of it is stemmed from many, many years ago, a lot of hurts that took place in America, and a lot of unforgiveness has not healed yet.
Wow. So we need to have more forgiveness in the world over countries and stuff that have been damaged and wounded, you believe?
Yes. There's been a lot.
Talk about that.
There's been a lot of misunderstandings in the body of Christ. I think a lot of people, they separate denominations, and if you're in a certain denomination, that's the only type of people that fellowship there. And so the Lord has somehow put us in non-denominational fellowships where everyone is welcome and everyone is accepted as a born-again Christian. And, you know, we believe that we are all one body on the earth. If you have accepted Jesus into your life, you're a child of God, and we are all one big family on this earth. So we don't separate people just because they say they're Baptist or they're Trinity or whatever they are. We classify them as a body of Christ because we are one body in the Lord. But there's been a lot of misunderstandings through the years in that area, and I believe that there needs to be healing, even greater healing in that, because we have separated ourselves because they say that there's a certain denomination. And so we feel that we shouldn't participate because they don't know as much as we do, or they're not flowing in the full capacity of what God should be doing in the body of Christ. We think they haven't got that special anointing that other people have developed in their spirit, man. And that is wrong thinking, because God can take any servant and train them and mentor them. It's all done by the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. He can develop anyone he so chooses and give them words of life to speak unto people.
I like what you're saying there. So you are like me. You really have an issue with denomination.
Yes. I wish people would say I'm a child of God instead of locking themselves up into that. Because once they do, they separate themselves from other people somehow. When you leave church and go to another fellowship, there is a separation and people cut you off because you're not fellowshipping with that certain body of members there. And it's hard for me to accept that. It's kind of like you go through a divorce and you lose your family. But I don't see it that way, because we are still in the area, and even though we are not going to that fellowship, we are still part of a greater body of Christ. And if we ever did need a place to go to church, if people don't fellowship one with another, we would not have that connection and know where to go the next time we go. So that is one of the great hindrances that we see in the body of Christ. They don't keep connections with certain people that they should. They just have the friendship and the fellowship and the going out and interacting. But they if you don't go to their fellowship, sometimes they just cut you off and don't associate with you.
So instead of connections and bondings, what we have is a bunch of divided people, and division causes issues, and we have a lot of issues going on in the church that really need to be addressed. And in order for those to be addressed, we need to have better relationships, and we need to have better bonding amongst the believers, not just in the church, but in the body of Christ. Am I not correct with that?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I was up in Reading. My wife and I go to Bill Johnson's church for conferences many years ago, and we traveled many strategic places, and a lot of them were Assembly of God meetings, but there was a supernatural anointing at that time for a birthing of a people getting together and networking together in the Spirit to do things for the glory of God. And so we didn't get into that place to where we wouldn't fellowship with people just because they were of a different denominations. We wanted to be led by the Spirit, and you feel it inside you when you go to a place, what God is doing in that place. And God birthed something from that Toronto movement that began to expand and go out all over the world, and it went on for a few years, but then there was a lot of divisions that came up because people were going and chasing a lot of ministers instead of being in that strategic place that they need to be in the body of Christ and ministering in their own local churches. So it caused a lot of hurt and a lot of division at that time. And so as the years went by, the new ministers saw this, that there was a lot of people leaving church and going to bigger churches because there was growth going on and there was more interaction and greater ministers were coming to speak there. And so I believe a lot of the smaller churches became intimidated by this. And so they began speaking against some of them and when didn't want to go to fellowship with them because they were so preoccupied with what they were doing in their church. They didn't have time to get trained in this end-time move of God that God was training each of us to do it for our own lives.
What do you feel about churches that isolate themselves from other churches here in America? I mean, we see a lot of isolation. If you're Pentecostal, you stick with the Pentecostals. If you're Baptist, you stick with the Baptists. If you're Charismatic, you stick with the Charismatics. But we don't see them branching out. What do you feel about that?
Yes, I believe that it's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit and the apostles and the prophets. God has got them in hiding right now, the apostles and prophets, and He is training them to speak forth the word of God like they did in the Old Testament prophets. When they arise again in the true spirit and anointing and power of Jesus Christ, they are going to walk into these fellowships And when they stand up, they are going to have such authority and power in the Spirit that they're going to speak things in the Spirit, and it's going to come to pass.
Wow.
And the people that don't humble themselves and accept these people, they will get cut off, and God is, you know, he will not use them for the purposes that he wants them to in the greater measure for the end times.
But you don't feel that we're at the end times just yet?
No, it's a birthing right now going on. It's a preparation of the bride of Christ preparing herself. Each one of us has to prepare our own self. We can't look at other leaders or different people and expect them to be at a certain place right now, because we're preparing, each individual is preparing to be the bride of Christ. So we have to prepare our own hearts, and we have to let God train the other people the way he wants them to. Each one is at a different level right now in the Spirit, and God is training people differently for different manifestations.
We might have a difference of opinion on that, but I think what really needs is that there's more people that need to come to Christ in these last days before he returns for the body.
Yes.
Because I believe that preparation is trusting, relying, depending, putting our total focus on Christ, letting him be our righteousness, letting him be our life. He's the one that's doing the preparing, or he's the one that's preparing us. He's the one that's preparing the place that he has for us. But I don't feel that we're there yet. And I'm glad that you're on. You're sharing the same belief as I, that you're the same feeling that I, that we're not quite there yet. We're close. Things are winding up. Things are coming more into place. But, Jim, we got listeners out there that are listening today, and I want you to take the next few minutes just to encourage them to speak to their hearts. There may be some men, women out there listening that really need to hear what Christ can do for them, how Christ can change them. And that's why we call the show Christ Today. So would you take the next few minutes, and I mean the next few minutes, the next 6 to 7 minutes, and just talk to the listeners?
All right. Yes, I believe that we're all appointed to do certain things in life. And if we really are sensitive to the Spirit, God can put us with certain people that will help us to go forward in Christ like that. He has strategic people that he wants us to be with on the earth that will help lead us into greater anointings and greater levels of Jesus Christ. So we have to be open to the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying more and more and put aside a lot of the things that we do that are not being fruitful in our lives, because a lot of people, they say they haven't got time to pray and to go to meetings and things, but they're doing things that are unfruitful in their lives. So we all have to be careful in that area and realize if we want the body of Christ to raise up and be that powerful body of Christ, it begins with each one of us preparing our hearts and being that person that Jesus Christ wants us to be. I've realized through the years that we need each other, each one of us do, because when people isolate themselves and separate themselves, they begin to lose their joy and their fellowship, and somehow they just quit growing in the Lord somehow because they don't keep pressing in the way they need to. So we need to be encouraged in that we have to keep fellowshipping with the body of Christ, even though we may not think that they're doing exactly what they think they should be doing in life. We have to be looking at the growth of the church and the people that are being impacted by the church, because it's the church that is the hospital for a lot of hurting people. Their family life, they have people from the well come there.
Yeah, family life. Let's talk about family life.
And one reason we enjoy going there, because they are a caring family that take people and mentor them and pray for them. And they have a gift from the Lord. I'm sure Pastor Hale hears from the Lord to be sensitive of what people are called to do in the body of Christ. So he wants to train people. He wants them to excel in life and get over a lot of the things that have hindered them in the past. And
repeat that one more time. Do what?
Yes, Pastor Hale wants people to get over a lot of the pain and hurt from their past life and realize that Christ is great, and he will take them and transform their lives. It's only Christ that can change them.
Why do people have such a hard time getting over their past?
I think a lot of it is because they won't forgive the people that hurt them. They say they do, but they hold something in there, because when it comes out of their heart, they keep bringing up and speaking about that. Every time they have an issue in the church, the enemy sets them up. If they've been rejected, somehow the enemy sets them up, and they go to the next fellowship, and they get rejected again.
Hmm.
And it seems to be a pattern that the enemy uses from people's past that keeps them hindered from growing in what Christ wants them to be in the Lord.
So not forgiving and holding things on and holding things against people and not letting things go can really hinder and really, really stop us or limit us from what Christ wants to do in our lives and how he wants to work through us to reach other people.
Yes.
Have you seen that in your life?
Yes. He says in the Word of God, he says, clean hands and a pure heart. That's what God wants. I wrote a song about that one time. And that's what he expects us to be. See, he wants us to be the light of the world. And so he's putting in our spirit man what needs to be going forth in this end time. And I believe we have to separate ourselves and let the Lord develop our spirit and train us. And it's by studying and meditating and reading the Word of God and memorizing scriptures and letting God impart into our spirit man, that is the only way it's going to work. It's not by man's work or what we can do or our great abilities, but we have to get close in the presence of God at this time and seasons of our life and let him develop us and train us and mature us first, and then he will send us out at the proper time.
Hmm. We got 10 minutes left, so it's been interesting today. So, listeners, where are you with Christ today? What are you doing with your lives today? Where does God have you? Where is he taking you? Do you even know? I'm sure Jim didn't know. Did you always know where the Lord was taking you?
No.
Of course not.
When we first took off in the tent ministry, we were just happy to be in the presence of the Lord like that. And then all of a sudden, when we started Prayer Mountain, we began to realize that the Lord was training us to go on the mission field like that. And so we had to realize that we had to really begin. I studied for 10 to 20 hours sometimes just to share for 10 minutes. I was so excited to what God was doing in my life, just to be able to share for them a few minutes like that. But it's a training of our spirits. And sometimes when we went out between churches to go to another fellowship, when, like in 1994 when we left the tent ministry where we were ordained, we decided to go up to Paradise, and a minister spoke to us that the Lord was changing the seasons of our life and that we were going to be going to another place. And then as we left that meeting, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to go to Pastor Granny's church up there in Paradise.
Jubilee on the Ridge.
Yes.
Another church we're going to give a shout-out to.
Yes. And so we were there for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden, Pastor Granny said, well, we're going to close our Sunday night service, and we're going to, if people want to, they can go to our sister church over there in Paradise Christian Center. And so we went over there to fellowship, and that's exactly when Pastor Higgins was coming there to begin that church. And it was just a supernatural how the Lord done that in our lives like that.
Wow.
It's step by step as we go different places. When we went to the tent meetings, we sought the Lord for many, many hours. And that's what Jesus did. When he first was baptized, he went in the Spirit into the wilderness to pray and seek the Lord. And it's really a dry place out there. But as we fasted and prayed in some of the meetings, we had supernatural encounters in our spirit man, and it helped birth the next place that we were supposed to be in the Lord then.
Wow. Interesting. So, Jim, do you feel on your heart that there's anybody out there that you want to minister today on the radio, through the radio? Is there anything that the Lord's given you to speak to anybody's heart out there that you want to encourage them or just pray for them or anything that you feel? Because I've had people on here before that have had words for people. Or do you feel anything like that in your spirit?
Well, since I'm a musician, I want to encourage the musicians there that if you have problems in your fellowship and don't continue with the worship, don't get bitter and unforgiveness at the pastor, because God may have something different for you to do in the season that you are in. So we have to be very sensitive to the Lord and don't let aught come into our spirit, because it does no good for us. The more that it just hinders our walk in the Lord, and Jesus has a more, you know, he cannot use us to the full capacity if we have unforgiveness in our hearts. So if you are a musician out there and you feel that you've been mistreated somehow and you feel that you should be in leadership up there, you need to let the Lord lead you and guide you, and he will place you at the right timing, at the right church, in the right place that you need to be. and then you'll be the most effective there in your ministry unto the Lord. So just be encouraged by this, that God has a place for each one of you out there. And he has a different season for you sometimes. And so if one area ends, then you need to be, you know, just seek the Lord and be tender in your heart and give it time to develop what the Lord has for you the next season of your life.
That's what we're in, folks. We're in seasons. And we just need to be ready. We never know what the Lord's going to do from day to day or time to time. We don't know when our time's going to be up. We don't know when he's going to come. But if he is getting ready to do something, I want to be ready for it. And I believe that my focus on him, my trust in him, will make me ready for it. And that he, through me, will do the job and get the job done. I don't work for the Lord. I work with him. We are a team. And tag teams are important. It's better to do things with him because we get more done together than trying to do it for him. I had a pastor once say, if you work for the Lord, welcome to burnout. Well, I don't want to burn out. I want to burn up. Burn up for Jesus. And another minister said, set me on fire and watch me burn. But folks, today's been an encouraging show. I hope you've been blessed. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been ministered to. And we're going to take the next minute or two here and just pray out. We're just going to pray out. So, Jim, you want to start praying out for the listeners that maybe, because if you're out there and you don't know the Lord, you don't have a relationship with God, or maybe you do, and maybe you just want to be closer to God, or maybe you just want to be more focused on God, or maybe you've got some issues going on. I'm going to have my friend Jim here pray for you, and then I'll finish it off.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I know there's a lot of people in life, Lord, that were raised not having two stable parents in the family, Lord Jesus Christ, as I was, Lord God. And I know, Lord, that it is hard for one parent to raise a child the way that you would want it to go. And so, Lord, I just pray that we will all forgive those people that have hurt us in the past, Lord Jesus Christ, and that you bring healing to our heart, Lord God, and forgiveness for everyone that has wronged us, Lord God. And I just pray right now for these families that are together, Lord. I pray that you'll give them the grace and the mercy to stay together for the remainder of their days, Lord Jesus Christ. Let there no more be divorces in these married couples that are born again, Lord God. But we're believing by grace that the self-centeredness and the things that try to hinder people in life will be broken in the name of Jesus Christ, and that they will be able to raise children in the house of God, Lord God, once again, and become a family, Lord, and spend more time together in fellowship, Lord, and training these young people in the way that they should be developed in the Lord, that the next generation will be a generation that serves the Lord and bursts in a new era in the Spirit.
Father, right now we just lift you up. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We just pray for our listeners out there that may be hurting, going through a hard time, a troubled time. Lord, maybe they just need prayer right now. Maybe they're low and they want to be high. Lord, they're down and they want to be up. They're discouraged and they want to be encouraged. Lord, I pray today that you would be that high. You would be that up. And you would be that encouragement for them. And if they don't know you, they would come to know you. They would open their hearts to you to receive you. And Lord, we know that time is short, but we know, Lord, that you are doing things mightily in our midst, and we just put our faith and trust in you. So I pray that the listeners would be encouraged and blessed. And I just pray that you would just minister to them throughout this week until we meet again. Lord, if in the meantime you decide to come for any of us, that we're ready for you and ready for your return. But until we meet again, I pray that you would be with them. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.